7:35. So everyone's here except for Bill and
Steve.
And Steve. So seeing no members of the public, any comments from the members of the commission?
Well, yeah, I'd like to do a correction to item number one. It's now past mayor. So you just put councilman, I guess. I worked very hard to achieve that. So. Hey, Bill.
Bill, is here?
Bill.
I trust you are still mourning the IT game Sunday. What was it, Sunday or Saturday that UCI lost?
I think they lost on Sunday, I believe.
Sunday.
Yeah, Sunday. Yeah, it was sad.
Painful.
Well, at least they made it.
They made it.
They made it to the NIT, so.
Yeah.
They got close. Yeah.
They got close next year.
We're, three of us are anteaters, so. Was Gonzaga in?
We're still in. Be here Thursday.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah. Are they seated one?
Yeah, they're playing at the Honda Center tomorrow night.
Uh-huh. Oh, okay.
Right. Yeah. Tickets you have?
I do not have tickets. They're very expensive.
Oh, really?
How much do you have for your tickets?
I might buy tickets if we win for Saturday. So we'll see.
Nice. Okay. So we're in the realm of public comment. Any other comments I just want to bring up? I had one item, and that's... In listening to the feedback from council, we attended one meeting when they were deciding whether to dissolve the committees or keep them working or not, and how many times to meet and so on. One of the takeaways that from that meeting for me was that some of the council members didn't feel like they were getting any out of this committee because there were no recommendations provided. And it granted, it took us a little while. There's a lot of information to go through as far as infrastructure is concerned in the city. So for next meeting, I was going to propose that, and a lot of you, I think, have probably already thought about what kind of recommendations we should be putting forth to council as far as infrastructure and maybe some suggestions on how to improve the way efficiencies, just anything related to infrastructure. So for next meeting, I was going to suggest that everyone bring at least one suggestion or one item, that a recommendation to council that we can put forward in a formal written, whether it's in the minutes or in a written memo to the council, the suggestions on how to better or help the city in its infrastructure goals. Does that sound like a fair...
Well, that was the objective of the committee when I conceived of the idea of... Yeah. But, you know, again, we've, on the council, we have nobody that has any background in public works. So they really don't understand. And of course, the biggest asset that the city has is our infrastructure, and our biggest potential expense item is our infrastructure. So the idea is that, you know, we're professionals, provide them some guidance as to, you know, what can we do to better manage, reduce our maintenance costs, and even things like, you know, are there ways that we can configure our streets and intersections to make them safer?
Well, yeah. Was the expectation that we would report to the council at every council meeting or some other frequency? Probably not every council meeting because we don't meet at the same frequency. But,
yeah, but
the idea would be that we would report to them six times a year.
As we have recommendations, I don't think we should force ourselves to make recommendations we don't have it discussed and fully thought through a recommendation.
So as appropriate,
yeah.
If we come up with a recommendation, then...
Yeah.
Is the council okay just having it in a written report in their package, or would they like us to come and present it, or is there something we can do better there to communicate?
It's up to the committee how they communicate.
What was your feeling from the council and how they'd like to be communicated with?
I think a short written report of a recommendation, and if the chair could show up and, you know, answer any questions.
Okay.
And we have a report section at the very beginning of the meeting so that it, you know, the the person making the report wouldn't have to stay for the whole thing.
The reason I brought it up now, because we're starting the year, we've already spent a year in infrastructure, and you know, one of the comments, we've done a lot of talking and discussions over the year about infrastructure, but no actual recommendations had been put forth to council. So it's like there were some comments, oh, why do we need them at all, basically. So I think with that year background and with the budget coming up, right, I don't know when the budget deadline is, but sooner rather than later might be appropriate to make our recommendations so that I understood that they were that the city was interested in maybe taking some of our recommendations and using it as they budget for this next fiscal year. Mm-hmm. So that's why I was suggesting maybe next meeting everyone have at least one recommendation in mind, and we can discuss it and see if we can put it in a formal memo before we get to the budget planning.
Yeah.
When is deadline. Budget season?
That's probably good.
Well, it's starting up real soon. Okay. I think the first budget workshop is in May.
In May.
Yeah.
That's correct.
But the city staff should be developing their budget recommendations for infrastructure maintenance now. And, of course, we're still trying to finish up last year's pavement management work, mm-hmm. right? So.
Who attends that workshop? Is that an open forum?
It's open, yes.
I wonder if we ought to all make a point to be there and be part of that.
Yeah, I think we should. I'd suggest that we coordinate with Steve and find out how we can, you know, get input and mm-hmm. and how we, you know, what areas we could help out with. I think some of our some of the work that's been done by our consultants, they've recommended certain funding levels for ongoing maintenance to keep our streets at least where they are. We should review that and give feedback to the council as to, okay, we think that, you know, you should be, given the information that we've received from and enough of the streets we've got and the deficiencies we've identified, you know, what funding levels should we propose for this year? I understand with the rains that we've, you know, may have had some additional road or street deterioration, mm-hmm. and you know, maybe we'll need to kick it up a little bit this year. I don't know. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we started doing a couple of years ago is we started doing some repair work. We just last night, for example, we approved a budget item. Was about. Is it $24,000 to $30,000 for El Camino 25. Paving?
Yes.
Yeah, to do some repairs like pothole repairs and stuff. And that was up until a couple of years ago. We didn't have that specific budget item. It was just they only repaired like whole streets, correct? So now it's like, okay, well, let's fix some things before they get further. But that's. You know, if we could get some more input from our, from you guys as to how we can better manage those streets. We only have Akram for 2 6-hour shifts a week. That's not enough.
Supposedly.
And we've got 70 lane miles of street and 30 miles of sewer and on. So that's too much for one professional to handle by himself.
Is it possible to see those recommendations, a copy of those? You said you had a consultant.
Well,
I think he's talking about the pavement management.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Yes. Right. How did those repairs come about? Was there a consultant's recommendation?
Potholes
and whatnot?
As part of the street improvement project, with the city council approval, we've added a few other streets from what it was originally awarded, such as Sycamore and plus few streets to be slowly sealed. At the same time, we had, as Council Member Bob mentioned, we've also last night awarded a contract for to El Camino Paving to do potholings all over the city. Since the city does not have a maintenance staff, so we had, you know, to go to a contractor. And so we got all those locations that has small areas that's potholes or cracks, you know, alligators that requires to be removed and replaced. And that will be done, you know, within the next, with this coming month, you know. Also was added to as part of the street pavement, a lot of crack sealing. And we'll talk about, you know, what is we're proposing for the next budget year regarding street improvement project in the next item.
Okay. Any other items for discussion?
Yeah, well, just generally, as you're walking or riding your bikes or driving through the city, if you see anything that is of concern, it'd be good to bring it to the staff's attention, and then we can discuss it at the meetings too. For example, you know, I brought one item to the city manager's attention down on, Adams Ranch Road and Adams Ranch Circle. There's a curb that's been busted, I guess, for many, many years. Like a 10-foot section where it's just busted over that has been overlooked for maintenance, and yeah, that's something to deal with too.
Very good. Any other items? No? Okay. Seeing none, look to approval of the minutes from October 18th. Has everyone had a chance to go over those? And any comments? No? Could I have a motion to approve?
So moved.
Second? All in favor?
Aye.
Next item, business items. The infrastructure management plan. I guess that's you.
No way. We have, let me pass these. It's a map of all the streets project that we have constructed over the years. Since I came in, you know, to the city.
Which was about how long ago?
August 2011. Okay. And they're colored per the year. And as you see, they're distributed all over the city. And the way we've been doing it, following the pavement management recommendations, at the same time, we take in consideration any other underground utilities that are being done within the area. And also, if we're doing one, two or three streets within that neighborhood, is to complete the neighborhood. So this way, it's all completed and done. With that, and also since the budget is coming, by the way, the blue ones are what is being will be completed as part of this coming street project, which is underway, is under construction. Now, the red ones is what I am proposing for the next budget. And one of the main ones, which is a part of an arterial, is the meats. Meats condition is a little bit bad. It is, I know it's a small section within our city and doesn't have that many frontage on it, but however, we're getting a lot of potholes in there and some, bad condition of the pavement. So what we're recommending is to do it within the coming year, plus there are the other streets that are, colored. If you like, I have a copy of the PCI for these streets. So this way, to give you an idea of the condition of them, I think this is, no, it's together.
Oh, here we go.
There's two sheets. Everybody got, you know.
So Meats, we actually have no frontage or no residence at or other Villa Park City streets that go to it.
Correct.
It's all that basically is serving the city of Orange.
That is correct.
And it's a major arterial, right?
It's a major arterial.
Okay. So
and
save it up for federal.
Yeah,
well,
save it up for federal.
That's what, you know, normally all the arterials, I keep them until there's some grants are available and so on. However, we've been doing a lot of filling some holes and so on, and that's the only reason I put it in is for to eliminate any liability. We can defer it, that's no problem. I mean, I can have the El Camino paving to do more patching in that area and defer it as until we get some possible grants available.
What is the cult of projects or OCTA? Is it covered absolutely?
The thing is that OCTA, they don't have a for paving unless there is some money coming from the state, and that's when we do that.
The SB1
coming. So SB1, right now they don't have any yet. So as soon as they come in, we can call, you know, utilize that. That's
pretty,
why. But
it's pretty measly though, right? I think I saw the SB1 funding for Villa Park. It's pretty low.
I think he's the competitive.
Oh, yeah, portion. Sure. Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's very few areas in our city that we can actually qualify for federal funding, no matter how small. So, I think it would be prudent to try to supplement our repair budget by attempting to get.
Yeah, because it's this small section is going to cost about $250,000.
Yes, and we've got significant streets that are in the city, within the city. Mm-hmm. As you look at this, it's just a connector from from Orange to Orange.
Yeah,
that's why I said not serve Villa Park at all.
That's why I said it's from the beginning. It is a small section. Does not have any frontage. Yeah. It is all through traffic. Yeah. For that, on that street. That is correct.
Yeah, I wonder almost if that's a discussion that maybe we could encourage Steve to speak with the city manager in Orange and say, hey, really, you know, we're maintaining this for your benefit only.
Yeah, but it's normally it's like any time when we do streets that has joint boundaries or jurisdictions, we kind of like share the cost based on the area that is, jurisdiction.
This is
and
kind of an unusual case, though. I mean, like Santiago, one side of the street is Phillip Park, and the other side is Orange. This is, I mean, although it's entirely within Villa Park, it's it entirely only serves Orange.
It's similar. It's like Sycamore also.
Sycamore
is all our street,
okay,
except it serves, one side. The whole
but in this case, there are no Villa Park properties that utilize that.
Okay, we'll defer that.
You've got streets like Dodson that have never been touched that are in terrible shape that aren't listed at all.
Yeah,
or Adams Ranch Road or.
So, as this list, are there any other that the pavement? The PMP has identified as very poor. I see the Sycamore, which you said is being done right
correct.
Now. So
and also like Park Villa is being done, James Road is being done, Park Villa Place is already been done, Valley Drive is also part of it. Martinique, there is a error in the entry, so that is not Villa Woods also is being done. Fernando is being done, so some of those are being done. So so some of them are already been included in the this year's project. Okay, but we can again the what I was proposing those it comes out 250 for the meats and 650 for the others. So altogether, we're talking about $900,000.
So that just that section of meats is a huge. That's a third.
That is correct. So it's 650.
So we can apply that possibly to other streets.
Yes, we can modify that to include other streets and be more residential, not the arterials, because I'm waiting also for Villa Park for federal funding, on that. And so we'll modify it. And also, again, this is a tentative because we'll be looking at the same time if there is any undergrounding projects. So in case of we need to adjust it and see that. Okay? Any other comments on regarding those?
Yeah, Taft doesn't show up here as being done. What's the best?
I apologize. Taft has been done. Yeah, it's a
2000.
Yes. I mean, it was done. Yeah, that is correct.
14, 15.
It was done from Santiago all the way to Lemon. And it was done as a separate project that's, you know, since it was funded by federally funded. So thank you for catching that. Yes.
You're welcome.
So that is.
You know, on Wanda, does anybody know what's going on with all of those potholes?
Oh, that's a, there's a communication contractor for MCI and Verizon. They're doing a lot of cabling all over the cities, everywhere. I guess they're trying to improve their communication
their
system.
Trench repair has been just miserable because they're leaving those trenches low, and either cold mix or whatever they're using in it, it's like they're creating potholes in that street.
Right. Well, so they did the same thing. They remember we talked about Catella, where if you're doing a trench, you should go all the way to the gutter. And if you drive Catella now, you will see in some places they left 2 feet, which is kind of silly. I've never seen
in
that.
In City of Orange?
No, Catella, in our city.
In Villa, or Villa Park.
Yeah, in our it's city.
Depending on, yes.
You said the all the way to the lip of the gutter. But
it depends on how close they are to the gutter. And normally we do require them, if there's only a few feet left, that they need to grind the whole width all the way to the gutter.
Right.
Normally, otherwise, we do require 2 feet from the trench on each side. 2 feet on each side to grind
right,
and so on.
Right. We do this all the time, but have you looked at this street? When you have a chance, take a look at it.
Okay. On the southbound, I mean, using Catella as north and south, maybe I'm wrong on that.
East-west.
East and west, yeah.
On westbound.
Westbound, they have not done the paving yet. On the eastbound, in other words, towards Orange, it is completed.
Yeah. That's the one I'm talking about.
I'll check it and see what's...
Because they left like a little bit.
Okay.
And what's going to happen is in the future that 4 feet that they left, there's going to be a differential between the two.
Yes, correct. Yeah.
And it's going to be an issue with the water and all of that. So
we'll check that. I'll check that.
Okay, just in looking at your map, what you've colored in are all these streets that we've rehabilitated since you came in 2011. I'd be interested in knowing how many lane miles of street we've addressed in the past eight years. And if we extrapolate that to the total number of lane miles, how many years would it take to get through all the streets in Villa Park? The reason I bring this up is just speaking with one of the city councilmen from Los Alamitos, they try to go through and rehabilitate, at least do a slurry seal on every street in the city on an eight-year cycle. And just to look at this, it Pure said if this is all we've done in 8 years, we might be on a 50-year cycle.
Matt, let me clarify something. You know, as you notice, most of the projects, I would say 90% of these are not slurry seal. They're more of paving in order to get the streets in a good condition. So we'll be, so the streets will be in a condition that we can slurry them. There are some streets that are slurry, and I am for slurry sealing streets. But right now, or at least what we've been doing, is concentrating into paving more than slurry.
Yeah.
In order to get
maybe
them
maybe I should step back. Actually, Rich Murphy or Councilman Murphy told me is that they go through and they rehabilitate, you know, they repair and you know, slurry seal or whatever. They fix up their streets on an 8-year cycle.
Yeah.
So that their streets look they feel that that's the minimum cycle they can do to minimize their costs.
No, I agree that we need to come in, come up with a slurry seal program eventually.
No, I'm not talking. Slurry seal is just, you know, it's just paint. They fix the streets and then, you know, if necessary, I guess they slurry seal.
Yeah.
But, you know, I'm wondering how long would it take us to go through and, you know, get to every street, do all the repairs on every street, given our rate of progress?
Okay. I mean, we can get that to calculate that, I mean, based on...
Yeah, it seems like an intern could calculate that.
And how much would it take, I think?
Yeah.
You're going to have to figure out, it takes 20, 30 years to get through all, but then...
Or 50 years, whatever, yeah.
Or 50 years, but then you know how much money you're going to have to set aside every year.
Yeah.
That's what your pavement management plan does, is it takes you out to, what, 2023?
It's 7 years per the Major M requirement,
right.
Yeah.
So you can see in the pavement management plan how much it's going to cost, and they break it down.
But that's not getting every street.
How much, right, they limit to how much can you do up till in the 7-year
timeline.
Yeah. The problem is, like many cities, like La Mirada, that never touched their streets for like 50 years, what ended up happening is they had to pass a special tax measure just for residential streets, which brought in, you know, several million dollars every year just for streets, and they went through and they did. They paved every single street, overlaid, reconstructed, major paving every single street in the city, including arterials. So because we're having to play catch-up as well without the benefit of an extra tax, then yes, it is going to take obviously longer for us to get to that point. But generally speaking, all the newly paved roads should be put on a slurry seal program in, what are you using for ARHM, 5 years out? So 5 years from the time they're paved, 7 years out, because you're using rubber, you shouldn't have to slurry it like you would normal asphalt, but that's kind of another discussion. But those streets, all these streets that are done, 7 years from the time that they're completed, we should be starting a list for the slurry seal program on those to keep them, to keep them. And I don't know how the budget would work out. But.
Well, I know just enough to be dangerous, but I do realize that, you know, even if you just look at this map, you see that there are, you know, we've got our rate of progress is very slow, and the streets can't survive without structural maintenance for an indefinite period of time. And I think it's valuable to educate the council and the community that, okay, this is really what it's going to take to maintain our streets in a good condition. And, you know, either we need to dedicate more of our general fund to street maintenance, or we, you know, somehow we need to have resources to make sure that we can maintain the streets before they totally fall apart and have to be totally, all of them need to be totally reconstructed. And it's something we can't kick the can down the road. It's something we've got to deal with directly. But, you know, we've got, a salesman, somebody who's running janitorial supply services, environmental consultant, a CHP officer. None of us have, background in infrastructure maintenance or civil engineering. So it's, working with Akram and our city manager provide the information to the council so they can make rational decisions or informed decisions.
Okay. Well, we'll do some calculations and bring it to the next meeting. That's not one item that I would like to get your recommendation on these proposed projects is as part of the change order that we're giving to our street contractor, we're doing a lot of crack sealing and in the city. And some of those streets that we are proposing for the next coming street project is on the list to be crack sealed. So it becomes the question is, should we keep them as crack sealing and then we come in and pave them in the next project, or should we delay the crack sealing of those project? And since as part of the process, if we grind, crack seal, and pave, so we will be whatever we're crack sealing at this moment, within a year or so, we'll be kind of removing that if the street is going to be ground and repaved. So it's like to you.
Before we talk about that much, I got to thinking here. So this report is dated June of 2018?
That's when the pavement management was done.
Okay.
We do it every 2 years.
And we've had a heck of a winter. I wonder, are there things that have happened due to the rains this year that may change our priorities and...
Really, the majority, it's the impact on all of them. This is kind of the same.
The ones which has
more cracks and more that, it will be more impacted than the good streets.
We didn't have some streets that were really taken down in condition due to the storms that may move up the list?
No. I don't think it's as bad as these.
Okay.
But again, as I said, these are just a... tentatively, we will be doing more work on more analysis. We'll be going out in the field and checking all the different things, also the undergrounding. Checking with also the any gas utilities. Anybody that wants to do any work, we inform them to make sure that they do it. So you might see some of those streets a little bit, changed or modified.
Yeah, then back to your question. I mean, wouldn't you want to wait until you get to next year and repave that thing before you crack and seal and then go back and rip it apart? I mean, wouldn't that make sense?
I think you'll have to go case by case and go look at the street and take a look and see if this street is bad, really bad reconstruction type, then it doesn't make any sense to seal it. If it is a mild street that you could probably just grind and overlay, then sealing the cracks and waiting 2 years or a year and a half is probably worth your money, because depending on the size of the crack, and the location, like for example, James and Charter, that's a bad soil there. Mm-hmm. And that, basically, if you open that and reconstruct that, you're going to have nightmares. Because there's a lot of bad soil sliding. I mean, you could see it when you're driving it. If you go into the houses, and look at their pools. Some houses basically had their
settlement.
Differential settlement. Yeah.
Yeah.
So it's really, I mean, probably before we give you an answer, I think the each person and the committee individually will probably have to go out and visit these and basically evaluate what we think is needed. And we can give you an answer then. But right now, I don't think we can.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. I'm just from a, you know, in general.
Yeah.
What is, and I agree that we need to visit each street, and depending on the condition of the street, then that's the decision is going to be made. You know.
So, but the red ones are for next year's full reconstruction, right?
It's not. It might not be full reconstruction. Could be grinding two inches or that. You know.
But the change you're making is for this year's
right now
and reconstruction project to add some crack
correct.
Ceiling. To
that is correct. That is correct.
So timing-wise. Because they just approved it, right? The crack ceiling program last night. So we don't meet for
two, three months.
We're going to miss that window without having some intermediate input to you on the site visit and the recommendation. Is that something
we can do outside of the committee?
Yeah.
Last night's approval wasn't this, though, right?
It was the past meeting. So it's not last night. It was the
So there's a potholing contract that they just approved last night.
Right. Yeah.
Right. But then the meeting before that, the change order was approved.
For the crack ceiling. That
crack
is correct.
Ceiling. Okay. So
the crack ceiling.
So it's underway.
Yeah.
So we could do it by email. We don't need to meet. We could just, each one will go and take a look at it and just send an email to Akram that this is our recommendation. And
I would like to see, personally, I'd like to see the committee review the budget proposal before May, and that may mean an additional meeting, but, you know, at the discretion of the chairman, but...
I think it's the only way that we're going to be able to have any input other than attending the actual budget workshop as individuals. But as far as the committee goes, if everyone's in agreement and we're allowed to do that, I don't know if we're allowed to do that.
Absolutely.
As council, okay.
Yeah, as residents, you're allowed to attend, period. But
as a committee, are we allowed to meet in between
meetings? I don't think that there's
meetings?
anything that precludes us from meeting.
Okay. Then maybe next month, then we can...
I thought we're not allowed to meet.
According to
asked that question.
Steve basically said you cannot have more than three people talking.
We can, as long as it's a notice meeting, we can.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's the Brown Act is to make sure that things are publicly noticed and that the public is allowed to attend. So the public could attend this meeting, for example.
Can I just clarify one thing? Mm-hmm. Again, last night's approval was potholing. The meeting before that, you got a change order approved to add some crack ceiling to the existing contract
that
was doing the paving.
That is
but
correct.
But that crack ceiling, your question was whether these red ones who are planned to be redone next year, any of those to be crack sealed or
yes.
any of the other poor streets that should be included in this?
Well, there is a lot of, it's about 500... 1,000 square feet of streets are being crack sealed. Some of those streets that is being proposed for next is on that list.
On the red one.
So that's why I'm saying, are we, you know, should we do them or should we delay them, you know, so this way we wouldn't be throwing the money, you know. And again, I agree with Bill is that, you know, it's case by case. If it is really bad, and in order to, you know, because most probably since this is a 2-year budget, unless the city council and that find the money to, you know, to expedite it and just do 1 year. So it won't be really, nothing will happen to these streets till maybe not this summer, the summer after. So you're talking about a year and a half or so.
What you've budgeted for those red streets that let's take out meets, are any of those budgeted
it's about
for reconstruction?
Well, again, I did it as a simple calculation. It's grind and overlay.
Okay.
It's about $2.50 for each square foot. Yes.
Which streets of the Redwells are scheduled for
crack ceiling?
Crack ceiling.
Oh, I think majority of them.
Maybe you can just email us.
Okay.
Which
yes.
streets are?
No problem. Yes.
That we know which ones to go and
yes.
look at.
No problem. I will do that.
And there's more pages to this then, it seems like, right?
But yeah. Yes. I just did that. You know, the first page. You know. Yeah.
Some of the streets were missing, but then I
no,
realized
yes.
this is one of
yes.
three.
Yes.
So
yes.
Streets,
it's in that report that they gave us.
Mm. Well, yeah.
Would it be possible to get I think we requested it before, but is it possible to get the Excel spreadsheet of Appendix B?
Yes, yeah, that's no
and
problem.
And also, I believe, Appendix A, which has the cost estimates.
Okay.
And that way, if you would just highlight those that have been completed, maybe in green, completed already in green, and then the ones that are scheduled. These yellow can remain as scheduled for 2018-19. Okay. That way, maybe we can look at which streets possibly you want to, the committee would recommend spending the extra or the additional $250 on that we're not applying to meets at this time. And you mentioned you were estimating about $2.50 a square foot.
For the for residential and
right,
three.
Which is all we're looking
yes.
at right
yes.
now.
Yes, so, yes,
okay. Is there a reason why, as I was looking at the PMP last night, they actually, for the overlay, they were only, I checked a few of the numbers, they're only estimating $1.76 to $1.80 per square foot in their budget numbers, and you're saying it's costing us $250 a square foot. So
yes.
that's a pretty big difference.
Yeah.
Is there a reason why they weren't tasked with running their PMP budgets? Because in their, you know, when they said, okay, this is how much the city's going to need overall if we do them all at one time, and how much per year. Their unit costs per square foot are significantly lower.
Okay.
I was wondering why they weren't asked to budget it at $250 if that's what
I'm including in there is the design and the construction management as a total, the whole thing.
Not just the
not just the actual
cost.
Paving.
Okay.
That is correct.
Okay.
And I think I have a. Once I did a cost per square foot
mm-hmm.
for all the streets projects
based
that we did.
Based on all the years cost.
Yes,
okay.
of that, and I'll try to locate it and provide it to see,
well,
to show you, to
yeah,
give you an idea.
Okay.
How much is it costing us.
Okay. So when we look at additional streets to add on in lieu of meets, we should be looking at revised numbers at $250 a square foot for the overlay.
Well, you know, pricing is a very touchy thing, especially
yeah.
with SB1. Once that kicks in, all the prices are going to go way up.
They are.
Because San Diego, remember we went to that
right.
City and County Engineers Club
mm-hmm.
where the City of San Diego, County of San Diego came in,
yeah.
and they said their pricing basically doubled.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because of SB1. So we need, pricing is a very iffy issue.
Mm-hmm. It's true. I've noticed that in a lot of the bids in other cities and so on, the pricing has gone up. And it's all the contractors are very busy. You know, it's, and part of it is, having SB1 funding available. I mean, plus, and maybe the oil is also, it's higher.
Since the majority of these streets are general funds, right? Maybe there's recommendations possibly that everyone can maybe bring to the table to help reduce the costs.
Yeah.
The project, whether it's maybe not using rubberized asphalt, using standard asphalt, because that generally costs about 10% more.
But what is the life of regular asphalt versus rubberized asphalt? Using rubberized asphalt, doesn't it have a longer life to it?
Basically, when you compute the structural section, if you're doing an overlay, the rubberized counts as 1.5 as much. So if you want to put 2 inches of rubber, you have to put in 3 inch of regular asphalt. So that's the takeaway. The advantage of the rubberized is basically less likely to crack because it's more flexible, because it's rich with rubber and oils. So most people use rubber for overlay. But if you're doing reconstruction, Caltrans doesn't give you the 1.5-to-1 equivalent, so you might as well use regular asphalt.
Okay. There's a consideration, I think. Wasn't there a consideration about the cul-de-sacs too? Because really, for major arterials and collectors, rubber is the way to go, because that heavy traffic load and the flexibility of that surface layer, at least, is a benefit long term. But for local streets, you don't have heavy traffic loads to, the heaviest thing is the trash trucks and the cul-de-sac, right? Where actually rubber may not be as beneficial because it is flexible, it's gonna push more. Then why not save that money, go with regular AC for the locals and leave the rubber for the arterials and collectors.
Yeah.
Because we could possibly be saving some money that we can put towards other streets.
Yeah.
So.
Anyway, Akram, a couple of years ago you were talking about increasing the thickness of the pavement at cul-de-sacs to better deal with the loading from the trash trucks.
One of the things. Well, one of the things which is just to add on what Leah said, that rubberized at the cul-de-sacs, there have been some cities complaining is that because of the trash trucks and so on, it's rippling, you know. So far,
rutting is the word.
Oh, rutting, and it's just, you know.
Rutting is a structural problem. And Orange, if anyone should know that by now, because they just put down a beautiful overlay like 3 times on Tustin Avenue. And at every intersection, 2 years later, there's a 6-inch rut at every intersection. And they haven't learned their lesson yet, because that's a structural defect. The thickness of the section is not able to support the stop and go of all this heavy traffic. And they just don't get it. But that's another gripe. But anyways, when you get rippling and rutting like that, it means that the structure is not able to support the weight of the traffic that's on it. And that they have to either beef. Generally what happens is they beef up or they concrete the intersections to improve that. But a little grind and overlay is not going to repair anything.
Okay.
There's no support for the traffic. That's what causes it.
Rutting areas in Villa Park?
I haven't noticed any. Have you?
Not even like at Villa Park Road and Center, Lemon, the heavy stop and go intersections.
You would notice. I haven't noticed, unfortunately. Yeah. So I do see a little bit in the cul-de-sacs. I see some ripples sometimes, where it's obvious that maybe those trucks are like really slamming the brakes on and ripping out of there. But in those cases, I think reconstruction would be almost the only way to. I don't know how thick the existing sections are, probably standard, but it would cost more to repair those. But again, maybe rubber is not the way to go. But it's hard when you're doing a contract, you can't, it's harder for the contractor to put, you know, put rubber here and don't put rubber here. Just go all standard, maybe, is the better way to do it. But maybe everyone could think about that and provide a recommendation at our next meeting.
Any other comments on that?
I have a question for you. On your potholing, just a detail, that sharp curve at the top of center where it curves into Valley, there's a area of significant subsidence. Is that included in your potholing?
I have to pull the list,
okay, you know,
to be honest. And we will be going out, since the contract is awarded, we'll be going out with the contractor and marking all the locations of that, you know, all of them.
The question of the crack seal, when is the contract out of that, or is it out
It's already... Part, it's a change order to the existing street improvement
contract.
So now it's they'll be doing it probably within 2-3 weeks.
We have to get our recommendations
on these
to you on the red ones.
On the red ones, yeah.
But just before not 2 weeks.
Yeah, it would be preferable if it's within 2 weeks.
Did we decide how we're gonna meet before we give our recommendation, or just email them? Because it's 2 weeks.
I think we should. I'd suggest that we ask Steve how we can coordinate participating in the budget process for the infrastructure maintenance. Have him come back to us and propose how we could do this, how we could schedule it. And streets aren't the only infrastructure maintenance issue. There's also sewers and storm drains to consider. So.
But he needs a recommendation on the slurry, on the crack seal 2 weeks before the contractor starts doing all these red areas. Mm-hmm. So that was a question.
There are not that many, as you ride your bike in the weekend.
I will.
So that's
hopefully it's not raining.
Basically, so I understand. Your question of the committee is on those streets that are listed as red, should we defer? Are there any cracks that need immediate attention that can't wait until the street is reconstructed as part of the fiscal 1920 reconstruction?
Correct.
Okay.
Yes.
All right. I think that.
Anything else on the streets or on the street project? Or the PMP? Okay, seeing none. Discussion of the self evaluation process. That's Dave's baby.
Yeah,
yes.
Well, just been on a lot of committees, and it's always good to check in periodically and make sure that you still make sense as a group, that you're accomplishing what was laid out in your charter, that you have a charter. Now that we're going to, half the meetings in a year, maybe it's good to kind of fly a little higher over the top of this committee and see what it is how we can best use our time and synchronize with activities that the city has to decide on during the year. I don't know if we're going to do a self-evaluation today or if it was... we're discussing the process, I guess. Are we doing one today? I didn't prepare for it. But maybe we could think about that.
Didn't you have some of the sample questions?
Yeah. I was trying to see if I could find those.
Yeah,
remind everybody, so next meeting we can touch on that process and see if everyone's would like to participate in that.
The council decided on some of it. I mean, you know, part of the evaluation process is your meeting, you know, your meetings and the frequency, and that's been kind of set. So given those parameters, what can we best accomplish every time we meet? Maybe our meetings should just—it shouldn't be on a regimented every other month. It's a—you know—maybe there's focus work to do when there's budgeting, and we take a break for 3 months, and we get together when the next big thing happens. I mean, maybe we could look at that more holistically and not just meet every other month and then miss synchronizing with important decisions that the council has to make.
Are we meeting every other month or every 3 months?
Every quarter, I think.
Every 3 months.
Oh, so it's no more than 4 meetings a year? Is that what got decided?
Is that how it...
To be honest, I'm not really sure what the city council decided, but my understanding, it's, every quarter.
Oh,
or four.
Okay. I thought it was no more than 6 a year, but maybe I didn't understand it.
Maybe that's a Steve Frank's question.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. How can we best assist you? Again, I hate to go back to it, but the city council, they don't have a background in this, and the idea of the committee is okay. You guys are professionals in public works or in infrastructure management. How can we best manage our infrastructure in the city? What are our thoughts and recommendations? Because they don't know, and they don't know how to budget because they're total laymen. They don't understand what it takes to maintain streets or storm drains or sewers. So it is to work with, with Akram and with Steve Franks to help them understand what we can do to better manage the infrastructure in our city.
Any other items of discussion? Okay. When shall we meet next?
Well, I think we have to wait until...
We'll plan on meeting maybe next, before the... When is it? You said budget is in May.
Well, I'd suggest that we ask Steve how can we best coordinate with the budget cycle.
Okay.
So that we can provide input.
And set it. Based on, to be determined then, based on Steve's input.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Anybody? All right. Then I guess we're adjourned. It's 8:34.
Thank you.